Hey Yak listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes. It's the Yak. It's the Yak.
It's your drive, Yak style. It's game through all. It's the Yak. Oh, hello. It's the Yak. We got a Yakagami. Never been done before. Francis.
Owen.
Myself.
Yes, sir.
Three amigos. Mm-hmm. Kate is also here. Sass said that he doesn't want to be here because there was a stripper in this room yesterday, so he's got to give it at least like a fumigation. He's got to give it at least a few days before he can return to the room. No, I think he's out for some other reason. Roan is out.
Yeah, where's Roan?
I think he had a wedding. Either way, Brandon's sick. KB and Nick are in Louisiana. Francis is here.
Yeah.
Frank the Tank Thursdays.
It's a lot of, there's a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah. A lot of pressure.
Because there's so few people.
And we also got slightly reprimanded yesterday about the stripper. I hope Kate's doing better. Mm-hmm. It's a light slap on the wrist that we got.
Dave's emails, he instills so much fear with so little words.
And I was just like trying to keep Kate, I was texting Kate all afternoon being like, don't worry.
True. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True.
Tried to make a joke in a business meeting later on to try to soften it up.
Mm.
Someone was like, yeah, we should just ask forgiveness. I was like, kind of like Kate ordering a stripper to the office. Everyone was like, ah. Yeah. Dave didn't laugh at that joke, though.
He didn't.
No.
He came in here right after the show and was like, came up to me and was like, no more strippers. And I thought, because me and Dave goof from time to time.
Yeah, right.
No, we don't. No. But I was like, okay, Dave. And he was like, No. I thought we were joking. It wasn't joking.
Yeah.
But it worked out fine.
What is this picture of? This is the moment that Dave told her.
I'm such a little
bit. Oh no. Oh. We got stuck. Look at. Oh no, Kate.
Look at my hand.
And you were like, oh no, it's for Merchapalooza. He's like, no more.
Yeah, I tried goofing the way out of it.
Shit.
No avail.
It was a great show. It was an all-time Yak.
I was saying Julio was great. He was a delight.
Julio's the best.
Yeah.
He should come on whenever he wants. How was the podcast? Did we burn too much?
No. We had plenty of ground left to cover. We kind of gave you guys the spark notes.
Nice.
But we had so much. We tend to be very long-winded.
Yeah, how long did episodes go?
Hour and 10.
Well, that's not that long-winded at all.
But we spent... We recorded two episodes for next week, and we got just through my wedding.
Oh, and then
we didn't even get to the honeymoon or his Afghanistan trip, really.
So. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, we got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking
beep,
news.
Beep, 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 beep. To all the big Yak fans out there, first off, does anyone notice anything different about me?
No.
This is a trick question. Whenever a woman asks you this, haircut.
There's something holding me down.
That's always a trick question. Guys, don't answer that question whenever they say that.
I got kind of a big head yesterday because it went well. And you know the cycle of things. Everybody loves you and then they hate you. So I was getting kind of a big head. I needed to be weighted down with something.
Wait, everyone loved you yesterday
right.
Except the only person that matters, Dave Portnoy.
Right. Yes. Okay, true. But I have something holding me down that's also doing great things for my figure.
Okay. I'm taking a picture to promo the show.
Okay. Hold on.
Oh, do you have
limited edition.
Whoa.
These are going to sell out like hotcakes. And the Barstool merch thing, you don't have to buy a lot. As long as you use promo code Kate, you can buy something small and awesome, like these limited edition Yak paperweights with the entire gang. Mm. Oh, look at my snaggletooth. Anyways,
snaggletooth not included.
Snaggletooth not included. But you can get these limited edition Yak paperweights with the whole crew, minus me.
What promo code?
With the whole crew in there with promo code Kate. So this would be a perfect way. It's not going to cost you a ton, plus the 10% off promo code Kate. And these are limited edition. I spoke to Merch Upstairs. They said, I was like, do you want me to put these on the rundown too that airs tonight? They said, no, these will definitely be sold out by then. These weren't actually touching my boobs, if you want to see one. Sorry.
Yeah, I want them to be warm.
Yeah, no, they're very cold.
Nothing like having a paperweight to prevent your papers or your manuscripts from flying into a lake like Colin Firth and that bitch from Portugal.
Yeah.
What movie was that?
Yes,
Love Actually?
Love Actually.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is funny thinking about a paperweight because usually it's inside where there's no wind. But yeah, paperweights.
But this way, when you're listening to the Accurate Work, whatever, you got the whole crew right next to you.
It feels good.
It feels good.
And now in store.
It's hefty. It's very smooth and soft on the bottom. And this is a really easy way to help the Yak recover their slush fund and to help Majestic achieve her dreams.
Right.
I've been making guacamole with mine.
Oh.
Mashes.
Upside down.
Yes. It's like a pestle.
Nice.
You can really mash things up with this.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, if
Outers
you're...
as well.
What are we going to do with Majestic if you win and we now have the rule no strippers?
Ooh.
Not that's give her her half of the
I guess,
money.
Yeah. I guess it's just well, like, that solves my problem.
Yep. I guess
it?
You're just going to have to keep that money, Kate.
I would have, but my boss said no.
Yep. Very specifically said no.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Buy them now. We just put them in the store. Yak paperweight. Francis, how have you been doing on the Merchapalooza? Do you have a code?
I do. It's Francis. I'm not going to be. I mean, I didn't get kicked out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I posted about it. I did my best, but I don't have any merch.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
Just sling these paperweights.
I'm not selling Kate's paperweights.
She's not even on it.
I'm not even on it.
Why are we not even on it?
Well, I'm a woman.
There's a little bit of truth there. The Yak is quite misogynistic.
Is that Rico on there?
No, that would be...
Top right.
Top right is TJ.
TJ.
Have you met TJ?
I'm not sure that I have.
TJ's right behind you.
Hey, TJ, we did say hi. I'm so sorry.
Do you know Stephen Che?
You gave me free tickets to a comedy show when I was in college.
Whoa.
Look at that.
You made his life, and you don't even, you're so famous, you're like, oh, don't remember that story.
I think we'll call it a net neutral. Call that a wash.
Are you familiar with Stephen Che?
I know Stephen Che very well.
Yeah, he's gotten very cocky.
He's lost a bunch of weight. Doesn't look like shit anymore.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's always doing these. We used to go back and forth about Peloton back when he was into it. And
dude, check my last 30 days.
Oh, you're still doing it?
Buddy.
I stopped once the
buddy.
Once the stock tanked and all those kids started going under the
getting
treadmills.
Yeah, the
there.
Treadmills were that was
I just
bad.
Said I don't support that.
Mm-mm. It would be funny, Francis, if you you got married what, like 2 weeks ago, if you just gained like 400 pounds. Like that
I
was
would
all,
never
that
those
was
people,
all just to get a wife.
They disgust me. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I have talked about it, though. I have talked about the exercise of gaining a lot of weight to sort of try to put myself into the orthopedic shoes of an obese person.
Mm.
But then I just think, God, I couldn't handle that.
Couldn't do it.
No, it's too revolting.
Do you get upset at yourself when you gain like 10 pounds?
No.
Really?
Do you know your own BMI?
I don't know my BMI. It's pretty easy to calculate, right? You just do like height over.
Yeah, I know, but like some people always know it. Like
I don't know.
Given time.
Yeah. No, I actually don't even. I don't have a scale. I don't weigh myself. I do go through fluctuations of what I look like, whether
right.
I'm like lifting a lot or just doing more cardio shit.
Right. Right.
I look. I've said this before. I am so vain. I'm very vain.
Oh,
person.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I'm very vain. So I have two things going for me, which is one, I'm also very hyperactive and my mind races. So one way that I sort of keep the dogs from barking late at night is by exercising so hard that I'm just exhausted.
Right.
Yeah, that's
so it's a sleep aid.
Right.
And then I'm also so I'm vain. So those are the two reasons.
Those are the veins. Now, do you think if you had like brown hair, do you think you'd be just as vain? Or would you be like, no, I'm clearly a good looking guy. Or are you like, I have to overcompensate because I'm a ginger?
I think I'd be more vain if I had brown hair.
Really? But you would be like, no, everyone knows I'm
traditional.
I'd
be more handsome.
Yeah, I mean, you're a handsome guy, but you'd be considered more traditionally handsome.
Yeah, but brown hair and light blue eyes, ooh, that's deadly combination.
Yeah, killer combo.
Of all the hair colors, though, like, you can be like a mediumly attractive brown hair person. I feel like red hair, you're either very hot or
you stand out.
Mm-hmm. You're an ugh. But if you are a good looking redhead, then
Jessica Chastain,
yeah,
super of her
women, hot redheaded women are just unbelievable.
The woman in Game of Thrones,
the new one?
No, the old one.
The Red Widow, the woman, the sorcerer.
Yeah.
She freaked me out a little.
She was hot. Well, didn't she turn into like an old person?
Yeah.
So that was kind of turn off.
Mm-hmm.
But she was hot.
Still, if you're a good-looking redhead, then you're like, I feel like it gets like trumped up times 10.
That's true. People notice a good-looking redhead.
Yes. You lucked out because it could go either way.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you could be like the freak that everyone's like, ugh.
Whoa.
Yeah, gross.
Freaks.
Yeah.
Hate those freaks out there.
Yeah.
See these redhead freaks.
Some real freaks.
Yeah.
I feel like the ginger community has gotten a little bit of like, they're starting to get a little more cohesive where they don't like people saying ginger.
Right.
Like they're starting to stand up for themselves a little.
I don't like that either. Let's just not make us a thing.
Right. South Park is really what kind of fucked you.
Sure
right.
did.
It was really the beginning of the end.
I had a girl. I used to tutor. First session we were working on, she said to me before we start, she was 12. She goes, did you know that gingers have no souls?
Smart.
I go,
like, you're done tutoring.
Okay, let's do this math. And she'd be like, and did you know that August 20th is National Kick a Ginger Day? I was like, really meet me on that day. I'll kick the shit out of you, fucking bitch. Kick her right in the head. She's that small.
You miss tutoring?
I do a little bit. It was fun. I liked it.
Yeah?
I liked the kids.
What did you teach?
My big thing was the SSAT, which is the secondary school's admissions test for kids that want to apply to like boarding schools.
Okay.
Eighth graders.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Because a lot of schools in New York are K-8, and then those kids have to outplace into different high schools or boarding schools.
What, is it hard? Could I do well on the SSAT? There's
four sections. You would love it, actually.
Give us a sample question.
So they have analogies is the really unique thing, because it's such an outdated...
Pull one up, TJ. See if we can get some SSAT.
Yeah, yeah. Pull up like a hard analogy from the sample analogy from the SSAT.
Multiple choice. This is something that you would feel like really smart, because you're teaching eighth graders.
Yeah.
This is like...
It's easy for me.
Yeah, it's like teaching like a seven-year-old how to play basketball.
Bingo.
Speaking of which, can we play the clip, TJ, real quick? Did you guys see? I'm fucking just dominated today, Kim. She brought some weak ass shit into my house.
The security cam.
There was no one filming. I had to go ask for the security cam.
It's amazing.
Because I was just minding my own business, practicing for some free throws. She came up and was like, oh, hey, Big Cat. Looking cute today. I was like, oh, yeah. See ya.
What an idiot.
Get out of here.
What an idiot.
I mean, that was the slowest windup ever.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Oh.
No, come on. All right, here we go.
Del Duque did it.
This is an easy one, though.
Flake is to snow. Wait, hold on. This is not easy. Flake is to snow. Drop it.
Whoops, sorry.
Drop is to rain. Drop is to rain. Drop is to rain.
Yeah, that's right.
Whew. Oh, okay. So that wasn't that hard.
No, but find a harder one.
So I can get into what?
Let's get some challenge questions.
What's the private school that like
Exeter, Andover?
Yeah, all the
Loomis Chafee.
What's the one that
Choate, Rosemary Hall
in the Bronx? That one,
Deerfield.
What's the one that all the presidents went to?
Might have been.
Didn't George Bush go to one?
He probably did.
I know them all from their lacrosse teams would make great EDM SoundCloud remixes.
Oh, yeah, they would. All right. Beg is to borrow as offer is to... Oh, shit.
Because begging isn't borrowing, right?
Oh, fuck.
This is interesting.
Offers to lend?
Hold on. Don't give it away yet. Hold on.
Beg?
Oh, my God. This is bad that I can't get into a
just
fucking...
To borrow?
Did you want me to teach you this?
I mean,
I'm going to show you how to do this.
Yes, yes, please.
So the first thing you can do is you can ask yourself, all right, what parts of speech are beg and borrow? right? So beg.
Out. I'm already out.
Verbs?
They're both verbs.
Yep, I knew that.
And so offer is also a verb, so you know that your fourth word has to be a verb.
Yeah, so slice so security bank. Out of there.
Which
so
means it's
take bank.
Lender is out. Lend. No, lender is out. Yeah. Bank is out. Security is out. That leaves lend and repay.
Bank could be a verb.
And then you have to say, okay, well, what's the sentence that connects beg is to borrow? And then you should lift that sentence and apply it to the other words too.
Did I get it right?
It's a little hard. I think it is lend, probably. But
lazy is to inert as resist is to.
Lazy is a verb, but resist it. Oh, yes, it is also a verb.
Lazy is. This is hard.
Inert.
I'm not good. At-
this is good. This is good.
It scares me.
All right. Well, how are lazy and inert connected?
I don't know what inert means.
Inert means don't, like, not moving, right?
It means not moving, yeah. It's part of, like, inertia.
I know. This is a problem. Like, I actually am very fearful of this because yeah. I it's been so, you know, I would graduate college, what, 15 years ago? I haven't opened a book or, like, tried to do anything. I tried to take the GMAT when I was maybe, like, 26, and I've told this story, but I paid all this money to go to a GMAT class, and I would sit in the back of the class, and I was just betting not even NCAA tournament games, CBI games. So, like, Oregon State playing some random team at home in, like, a two-game series. I was like, this isn't for me. So I haven't used my brain like this in 15 years.
It's hard. Some of these can get really hard.
It makes me feel physically tired, like working out. Makes you physically tired,
right?
Like, thinking with my brain now, I'm like, no.
And I'm worried about this as a parent. Like, I don't think I'll ever be able to help my kids with homework. Like, I don't think I'll be able to do that.
Well, you can do it to a certain age, and then you'll have to tap.
I think the age is like right now. My kid doesn't even know he knows how to count to 10.
By the way, lazy and inert are probably synonyms here. So, what's a synonym for resist?
Synonyms.
Refuse. Cylinder is to circle as pyramid is to
triangle.
Yeah, good.
That's
call
easy. Yeah, 3D version of it.
Crocodile is to reptile as kangaroo is to marsupial.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's
big
easy.
Cat.
Yeah. That was really easy.
Good. Not everybody knows that kangaroos are marsupials.
I knew that. Militar is to.
You're gonna get into Exeter at this.
Can't do this one.
This one's easy. Think about it, right? So a milliliter is a measurement of volume in the metric system, and a quart is also a measurement of volume in the metric system, but also a milliliter is much, much smaller to the much bigger quart. So we're looking for probably metric system to, I think it's English system of measurement or whatever, and small to big.
Millimeter to yard.
There you go.
Yeah?
That's probably it.
I don't know.
How many are there? I'm already getting tired.
We don't have to keep
destroy doing it. Destroy is to demolish this.
Mend is to change.
Attempt is to succeed?
This is a good one. So,
That's wrong. That was wrong. That was stupid.
Destroy and demolish are pretty much synonyms, too. You might argue that to demolish something is to destroy it more fully. So it could be like lesser degree to higher degree, but
amend is to change.
Probably amend.
Amend is to change. Yeah. All right, let's see what our graded. I can't do these much longer. I'm getting anxiety.
We got 15.
See how we did.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, we got them all right.
I'm all right. Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We're good. We're smart.
You know what you got to do is take the ASVAB. That's the test to get into the military. And it's literally like, you know that game you play with your kids where you just put the square shape into the square.
Yeah.
And like the circle shape into the circle. It's like that.
And that's it?
It's like the easiest.
That's good. Like, that's comforting.
It's a delight. Awesome. Yeah, you got to do ASVAB.
Yeah, that's nice.
You want to feel good.
Kate, have you seen all the stuff coming out about how the Navy SEALs buds training is being really under review for the fact that like people are dying doing it?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a problem for a long time, but.
Former captain of the Yale football team went in, did it, passed, and died.
Yeah.
The next day.
He died? How did he die?
His lungs had filled with so much water and fluid that it was like either pneumonia or something. And he should not have kept going. And it's all about like, don't.
Ring the bell.
Okay, so my only question, like, I understand that's tragic. But isn't it supposed to be one of those things that's very, very difficult?
It is.
Because you need to be, like, these are elite of the elite.
It is, but they are lacking the oversight to be able to see someone who's, like, clearly
that makes
on
sense.
The verge of, like, serious sense. Shit. And it's such, like, a harder thing that they're like, no, you can keep going. Instead of being like, no, you're about, like, you can tell when somebody's, like, really fucked. And what they have them do is go in and out. The ocean, people in San Diego is fucking freezing.
Oh, yeah, it's very
like,
cold.
All year long, it's freezing cold. And they just have them going in and out of the water like all fucking day long. It's so demoralizing. And yeah, it's just.
I can confidently say I'd quit before I died. Yeah. I just would. I would quit almost instantly.
But a lot of them will sort of find ways to prevent the oversight even from catching them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them that are using anabolic steroids.
Yeah.
HGH.
Oh, because the culture of it is being like, I don't want to be a pussy kind of thing.
Yeah, they want it so badly that they're willing to do anything.
Yep.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's super crazy.
I remember they had that show where you could watch, like, I think it was just butts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been the name of the show.
It's crazy.
Well, that nuts. Too, like, if you fail, like, you know, you leave your unit, like, whatever, say you're, like, a maintenance guy somewhere in the Navy, but, like, you're going to, your goal is to be a SEAL, and, like, you leave and your unit's like, all right, good luck, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's this shame, too, in coming back to your unit being like, hey, guys.
And they give you shitty jobs. Oh. Yeah, they give you shitty jobs.
Oh, yeah. That's
this all covered. And,
yeah, it's all fun.
The last thing was, like, the pass rate has declined significantly year over year. So now it used to be much higher. Now it's like it's gotten so hard that like nobody's passing.
Damn.
Yeah. Really.
Very few people.
It's crazy.
But again, it should be hard, but not death.
Yeah. Should be hard, but like at some point it hits a level where you're like, maybe some of this isn't 100% necessary.
Right.
Like it doesn't exactly reflect like what combat or any of that shit's like.
Right.
It's a little extreme. But yeah.
I also think it's like fighting in hockey where like the guys that do it, they're like, we don't want it to get easier.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
This is like been a beacon of our testing our metal for so many years.
Yeah.
We don't want to be the class that like they bring in a whole bunch of changes and oversight on.
Right. Because then everyone who is a Navy SEAL, both retired and active, will be like, you guys are pussies, and the whole culture of like, we don't trust you in combat.
Yeah.
Damn.
They have these like fake Navy SEAL, like any one of you could go for a week to these like these guys who are in the military.
Oh, yeah.
Their own camps.
Isn't that our guy, Ray Lay Cashier or whatever his name is? Yeah.
And they start, have you seen this? Guys will pay like $10,000 to go for like 4 days somewhere in the desert of California. They literally will roll up. You're supposed to meet in this parking lot, and then a van rolls up and they literally put like burlap sacks over your head, like old school. And then they make you dig your own grave and bury yourself in the dirt and blah, blah, blah. And like guys are dying at those too. Yeah. It's like,
what?
It's insane.
Like weird simulation shit.
People like cosplaying like this. Yeah.
And then the guys who tap out of the course that they paid for, then they can hire the trainers as consultants for a year before they go back again. One guy was like, I spent $60,000 to pass the course. It's totally worth it. You're like, what are you doing?
That's such nonsense because there's no certificate that says you've done the equivalent of butts.
I mean, this is what
Navy wouldn't recognize.
This is part of the reason why Tiger Woods wrecked his back. Yeah. He wanted to be a Navy SEAL.
That and the fact that he took all the SEALs from that day out to lunch and refused to pay for the lunch.
Yeah, refused to pay for the lunch. And was like training in like heavy boots.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what about like, do Tough Mudders piss you off, or people who Instagram after Tough Mudders?
No.
Those are so easy, by the way.
I'm such a dork. I'd love to do one of those.
I did one.
Really?
I did one once. It was the easiest thing ever.
I'm a two-time Tough Mudder.
Yeah, see, that it's made for guys like Steven. Yeah. Steven like walks around saying like, oh yeah, I basically am a Navy SEAL. I did two Tough Mudders.
Were you pretending to be in Saving Private Ryan the whole time?
No. They weren't that great. Okay. But
no, I remember doing it and being like 5 minutes in, being like, this is a joke.
I mean, you have to run like 10 miles.
Maybe I didn't do a Tough Mudder.
Did you do the one where they have the live wires that shock you?
People pay for that. No. You're like,
that's the one where I was like, fuck this, dude.
It was pretty lame.
That is weird. Just willingly get shocked.
Yeah, one time we were installing our dog's invisible fence on the property, and I walked through it holding the dog collar, and the tongs on the collar shocked my fingers, and I said, never again.
Never again. Yeah. Did you put it on the dog then?
We sure did.
Oh, man. What a monster.
Well, they had to know.
I did. I got one when Stella was like maybe two or three. I got her a shock collar, and the UPS guy came, and she barked, and then she whined, and I was like, all right, you don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah.
She's been barking ever since. I'm too much of a pussy.
I saw you on the street once, and she started barking at me, and you went, every time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's very defensive, and she's 11 and a half now, so it's like, I'm going to let her bark however much she wants to bark. I'm not going to stop her.
Yeah.
She's doing her thing.
She's singing out.
Yeah. Did your dog bark?
Only briefly as a greeting, and then gets excited to see the new person.
It's a French bulldog?
Yeah.
Does your dog bark in multiple languages?
Yeah. Joel.
Different pitches, certainly. Different tones.
Omen.
Yeah. Like he has a I'm hungry bark versus a, not even a bark really, but I want attention or uh-oh, there's somebody at the door bark. Those are all different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a tough, I was saying it before, I'm having a tough time today. I think I'm finally going to quit Zyn dipping everything, and I'm having big time nicotine withdrawals.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that is hard.
Yeah, it just makes you like angry.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. I just, my head hurts.
You can't. You can't quit cold turkey. You have to wean off.
No, this is like my personal buds training.
How long? How far along are you?
About 4 hours.
Ooh. Oh God! Okay.
The worst. Yeah.
What about the gum?
I did buy some gum.
Yeah.
So okay. I've been chewing the gum.
Dude, one time I was in, in Sweden, weirdly, and we were at a bar, and there were these really pretty ladies that came, and we went up and said hi and sat down with them, and they all do like Zyn and stuff. The women do.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. They've been doing snus, you know?
It's big in Sweden.
And then one of them had a pack of the gum, and I'm not a big tobacconist or whatever. So
that's what
I wanted to be cool, and so I was like, I'll try some of the gum. It put me on my fucking ass.
Sweden has, they put so much nicotine in those pouches in the gum. I was friends with some of the guys on the Blackhawks, and there's some Swedish guys on the team, so they put me onto this dip.
Siberians?
It came in a white tin. I used to actually give it to my friends to fuck with them. When they were drunk, I'd be like, you want a dip? And they would just immediately pass that. Like, they would just be bent over, like, so, like, spinning everything. They go hard.
Do you remember when you and PFT tricked me?
Oh, yeah, we got you good.
Yeah, that was funny.
We did get you good. Do you want to play that? Yeah, let's play this. Pause it. So, Francis told us this idea. He was like, we're going to do an idea. We're doing Chaw Dogs. He's like, I'm going to try to do a This Is Barstool Chaw Dogs with you guys, but it will be non-nicotine, non-tobacco. It'll be the, like, whatever, what was it?
Yeah, I think it was the
coffee grinds
ones, and I was going to pretend like I was really feeling it, kind of like that scene in Euro Trip where they think they're doing the brownies and freaking out, but then you guys would reveal to me, like, dude,
there's nothing in there, you're faking it, and then obviously we can't just be normal people, so we did the double cross on him.
Like, double cross to me.
So we put the real stuff back in that.
You really had no idea?
Without me,
no,
of course not.
No, you had no idea. Play it.
Go in to them. They're having a meeting talking about, pardon my take, and they're dipping casually, and I'm trying to be cool and emulate their behavior, and I take a tin of the fake dip, the coffee grinds, and like just pack my mouth with it. And then start freaking out, and then they reveal that it was the fake dip, making me look like a total idiot.
We're going to put the real tobacco in the coffee. So then he's going to probably puke at you. So.
Wait, one sec.
Here's the real stuff.
You guys are so devious.
This is Barstool.
Can I sit in for a bit?
He had no idea. Yeah, sure.
You guys dipping? Okay.
Yeah.
Just a little. Can I get involved?
Okay.
Can I get involved?
Yeah, of course.
Connect. We could do it.
No idea.
Connect the dots. Yeah, they're making Pluto fight it again.
Dude, one's probably.
Get off my back, bro.
One's probably enough.
Dude, this isn't my first rodeo. You know what I mean?
You know that shit causes cancer, right?
Well, I've already been through that once.
True.
You know what we should do?
Keep going.
Put in your nose. All right. Listen.
Okay.
This is like high school when you start your first dip. Mm-hmm.
You good?
You all right, buddy?
I'm fine. Fucking ignore it. I'm fine.
You sure?
This is funny.
It's funny.
You gotta bring this is Barcelona
on Francis's head right now. It spins. Okay.
Let's
jerk it off.
Are you sure you're alright, man?
Like, damn, no, we're fine. Just fucking focus. I'm proud to. Just fucking.
Okay, babe. Yeah. Yeah.
Which head?
Feeling a little lightheaded?
Around you.
Christ, it's hot. His hat, whole mouth is numb.
He's just waiting for us to say it's like a joke. Yeah. But it's not.
I'm really lightheaded.
Do you have health insurance?
I mean, you shouldn't be, dude. You're doing coffee grinds. I don't know what the hell.
It's the wrong one.
It's not even the real tobacco.
What?
Yeah.
This is just coffee.
Why is it still in your nose?
Mm. Okay. I'll see you soon.
Try not to catch any cancer while you're out there.
I'm fucking buzzing.
Are you?
So hot.
This is Barstool.
I can't even stand. That's like seven or eight of them. I'm like fucking flying.
It's real dip. That's real dip. We replaced the
coffee
grinds with real dip for you.
So. Are you kidding?
I was like, dude, he might actually pass out. He put so many in there.
Like, I'm fucking reeling, man. Yeah. I'm reeling right now.
You just did a lot of dip.
All right, cool.
You did more dip than I've ever seen a man do.
I cannot. I don't know what planet I'm on. I never dip.
Yeah, well, you just made a whole fucking tip. Yeah. I thought you were going to puke at one point.
I was hoping.
I can't see right now.
Well, you wanted to be real, Francis, so there you go.
Yeah, you would have
We're assholes, but that was, I mean, you had to.
It's so much better than.
So much better, yeah.
The idea I had. Yes. So,
that was great.
You
know. Oh, fuck. Well, you got to bring back This Is Barstool.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
It was. I mean, I loved it. It was very similar to, you know, the ESPN commercials, which are critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
With the Barstool twist on them.
Yeah. We had a fun one. One of my favorites, which, you know, was an early hurdle for you and me, because I did something that you told me not to do.
What was that?
It was that you had gotten Ryan Lochte to come in for a Pardon My Take interview.
Oh, yeah.
And I had asked if I could just grab him for a quick This Is Barstool idea that I had. And you had specifically told me no.
That was back when we were like, getting guests was very hard.
Yeah.
And it was like, we have these guests, they come in for like 30 minutes. They didn't know who we were. Now, you could get anyone.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, the story, you know, I was so desperate to prove myself. This was like the first 3 weeks of that.
Yeah.
And I needed.
Did you end up getting him?
I kind of like asked his, I think, publicist.
That's
While he was on your show, if I could have him for like 2 minutes. And she was like, yeah, I think so. And then I just went and did it without your approval.
Yeah.
And, you were actually super cool about it.
Well, I remember when we first started getting guests, because we had never done guests at Barstool.
Yeah.
So there was like all these, it was very competitive, and it was like, you know, a guest comes and everyone gets competitive about it. And we also were told, I can't remember who the booker was then, but they would always be like, this is what they're planning. Don't like do anything. Don't deviate. This is how much time you have. Mm. So we're under all these strict rules. But yeah, I do now vaguely remember that. And now it is totally different, where it's like when guests come in, they know us. Mm-hmm. They know Barstool. Like, we'll do it with anyone who walks in here. We'll just be like, you want to come on.
You were cool in that you impressed upon me that it was not so much like a territoriality thing as it was like a, you know, it took you a long time to network.
Right.
And lay the groundwork.
And getting those guests, yeah.
Get him in, and then for him to come in and
I remember you really did do it.
This is funny. Go back and start this over again. This is one of my favorite ones we did.
Oh, hey, Brian. Can you sign this for me? It's my headshot. Okay.
Right. I'm an actor.
Yeah?
Yep.
What kind of roles have you done?
Just mostly commercials. You can keep that.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's for you.
But I just signed it.
Yeah, but now everyone knows it's yours.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Sounds good. Well, right.
I'll take the marker.
Yeah, you can take that back.
Have a good trip.
Yeah, you got it. No
Thanks,
problem.
Buddy. See
you. I'm golden now.
He had no idea.
I didn't tell him what we were going to do.
Yeah, no, because he's actually the perfect person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's not the smartest.
Yeah, and it was playing on that. It's like, so I'm going to give him my headshot to sign and then tell him it's his to keep. Was the whole premise.
You
got to
bring it back. You got to bring this Barstool
back.
Those
are both Genuine, got good genuine laughs out of me.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Fuck. We should do it.
Yeah.
I was talking to Owen about some sketch stuff.
Once.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to do some Last Day Ever stuff.
What's that again?
Like Nick, KB, Sass, fights.
Some sketches.
Some video ideas that we kind of never got
like
around
it.
To. Yeah.
Like it.
Exciting stuff.
Get it cooking. Mm-hmm. It's definitely more, that was the other thing, when your first time coming to Barstool, like that was, the sketch comedy I think wasn't really part of what we did.
I mean, I was specifically told we don't do scripted stuff.
Right.
There was a lot of pushback against it because it was supposed to be out of line with what Barstool was.
Right.
And I couldn't get Dave to do anything because he was
Dave is the funniest actor ever. If you try to get him to act in anything. We did once, we were driving a RV to Houston for the Super Bowl, and we went through a town in, where was it? It was like Houston, like Mississippi or something. It was some other, it was, I can't remember. Oh, no. It was Atlanta, Texas. And we were going to, I think Atlanta was playing, something like that. We were basically just doing a video about it. And Dave and Kevin and I think Hank has the footage. We must have done like 55 takes because we were so bad at acting. It was so fucking bad. Like, we were so bad at acting. Dave's not an actor. But now, I mean,
but
everything.
I watch Sports Advisors, and I would think that there's certainly an air of theatricality to that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, kind of. That's more just turning it up a little.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, that is Stu.
Yeah, right.
That is Stu.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to figure out. I'm trying to.
Stu came up.
I'm very excited. Oh.
Sorry, go ahead, Owen.
I was just going to say, I'm very excited for this week with Pat. Not Pat.
Joey, yes. Yes. Yeah, all your gay guys look alike? Is that what you're trying to say?
In my eyes, yeah. Well, I can't look them in the eyes.
He looked good.
Joey looks really
good. Joey looked really good.
He's an attractive man.
He is.
Also, Joey, shout out Joey for coming in yesterday. And
yes. That was.
I got to say, Roan, what a move by him. I didn't fully realize Roan did that, slipped out like that.
But did you see the very end of the show?
He came back in?
Came back for post.
Way after the show ended and everything, all of a sudden it turns back on and he's in here alone eating a banana going, where'd everybody go?
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah, people are going after Sass. I don't think it's that crazy to be like, I don't want to lap dance on a live.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that was weird at all. I thought.
And he doesn't like pussy anyway.
I don't know what I would have done. I would not have wanted her to give me a lap dance. Yeah.
Really?
No, it was a weird
I just
situation.
Got married. Like, I don't want to fucking.
That's bad.
When's she coming in? Is she about to come in now? When is she coming in? Is she about to come in right now? Or what's her deal?
Who's here?
What?
That's great.
I missed it?
You have sat.
I missed it. That's tough. Man, I would have loved to see that. Well,
he was way
see you
smarter
next time
than
on the
Sass.
App, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the way. So you would have had to dip too?
I don't know if I would have dipped. Would I have been able to say
just fully clothed?
I can't do. Dude, I saw her. She was wearing G-string.
Is that what it was?
She was grabbing on my boobies.
Oh yeah, big time.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I don't have that much experience up close. I didn't think she was really going to. I mean, she was like going to town, and I was like, I don't know what to. I'm just going to keep laughing.
Yeah.
She was really going to town.
Hey, you have no one to blame but yourself.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
It was a great surprise.
It was a great surprise. Well, I'm mad at it. I no one else to blame.
Everyone loved it except Dave.
They put the episode on their website as promo.
Oh, hell yes. A double a banana split?
They said, check us out.
Her sitting next to Owen.
Yeah, as seen on the act.
Oh, that's great. We have probably the weirdest as seen on. Like, we have that hot dog guy.
Yep, the Pupton Show.
The Pupton Show. We have the clown that we hired probably has as seen on the act.
The face painters.
Shoe Nice.
Mm-hmm. You had Shoe Nice on?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's just in the chat pretty much every day.
Yeah, he hangs out. We've actually
He's
given him a home.
Full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So he retired from the internet. Apparently he does it very often. But then we happen to have a memory of Shoe Nice the day after he had retired from the internet. So we watched it. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so tragic. He came back out of retirement and was like, I finally found my home. The comment section of the Yak.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, he's probably there right now just hanging out.
Cool.
Shoe Nice is a legend.
I used to love his videos, but man, when it took that dark turn and he kind of released, there was like a documentary he made, I think.
Yeah.
His suicidal ideations and
yeah. It was I mean, there's only you only can eat like so many thumbtacks and tampons yeah. before you probably
before it
like,
is a suicide.
Yeah, yeah. Before yeah, you're like yeah. this kind of sucks.
Yeah, oh, right.
True. But we have him now. We've embraced him. I think hopefully, Yak fans have keeping him mentally strong.
Mm-hmm. He kind of says some crazy shit in the chat sometimes.
Oh well, I mean, duh. Yeah, yeah. He's our crazy guy. Mm-hmm. We need a crazy guy in the crew.
Mm-hmm.
That's shoe nice.
He went after Steve Will Do It initially, right, TJ?
Steve Will Do It kind of took his thing, yeah. right?
He'll turn on us eventually. His process recently has been find a podcast, become friends with them, their community, then turn on them and renounce them forever.
So should we turn on him before he turns on us? Take the power back?
Maybe if you eat a picture of him or something?
Mm.
Oh.
He's turned on the Nelk Boys. He turned on the H3 podcast. So.
How ugly does it get when Shoe Nice turns on?
Yeah. He just makes a bunch of videos and posts some. Okay. On TikTok.
Well, Shoe Nice, we're wise to your game, so don't.
You're on thin ice, motherfucker.
Yeah, don't try that shit, or else we'll turn on you. We will.
Yep.
You can't fire us, we'll fire you.
Mm-hmm.
Although fuck Shoe Nice. A case race where we drink beers and then he eats the cans could be pretty fun.
Oh my God, would that be incredible? zero, like, what is it, like a net zero carbon footprint of a case race?
Yeah. If you ate a beer can, would it not kill you?
I think he's done it, so no.
How would you do it?
Passing that.
Can you find a video of him eating a beer can? Yeah.
It's got to be shards, right?
I think if you rolled them into
little balls, that's not a bad idea.
Like little bullets, and then you just pass them through?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably eating a full beer can, though. Knowing the shit that he's eating. Do you think...
He would just eat full cans of dip all the time.
Yeah.
That was like his go-to. Oh, man.
I mean, it's a very funny move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Objectively speaking.
I once watched him eat an entire roll of toilet paper, which he's eating it like it was like a dog eats, I don't know what you would say.
Toilet paper.
It's just disappearing into his mouth, rolling. It's a huge industrial roll of toilet paper. That was one of my favorites.
What a legend. Legend of the internet, Shoe Nice.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Roback.com.
Big Cat, I see that you've actually been getting into golf.
I shot a 72 at Shinnecock.
Jesus.
You ever played there?
I have.
Well, what was your best score?
I think I shot like 81 or something.
Yeah.
Not 72.
Yikes.
Ew.
That's embarrassing for you. And then I played Frankie Borelli's course. That one I watched a YouTube video I wanted to get under par. 72 is not under par. So I watched a YouTube video before I went out and shot. Did something to my swing. I shot like a 132 at Frankie's course.
Because you made a change?
Yeah, I made a change.
Boy, that's a pretty big 60-stroke swing.
I still had four birdies, though, on the 132.
Wow, so you had some pretty bad holes.
Yes, pretty bad holes, yeah.
Couple of 15s.
Pretty bad holes, but we'll get back out there. Hopefully you can shave another 60 off. Next time I'm out.
Zah, have you been out with yours yet, the new ones?
No, not yet. I just took him out of the box yesterday.
Hell yes.
I did a little video, so check that out on my TikTok. Dimitri Zimbo.
Let's go, Zah.
Would be fun.
I would love to do. I golf a little, just so you guys know.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not getting into golf. I don't. Okay. I do not like golf. I will eventually someday when I have time.
Oh. Yeah.
It's something I would love to do.
Some great courses in Chicago.
Yep. Yeah, so and they're a little bit closer, but again, I think with kids in this job, you can't do like people go and golf on the weekends because they don't watch like every game on Saturday and Sunday.
You know what I love?
I don't know when you would golf ever.
No, never.
Par three courses are where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Par three or like 12 holes.
Pitch and putts. Mm.
12 holes is what.
That's right. Yeah. That's nice when you have a course where. Somehow, like, the 12th hole can get you back to the courthouse.
Right. Are you still a member of Bayonne?
Bayonne, yeah, I am.
Isn't it Bayonne?
No. I think you're thinking of some sort of Hebrew
Bayoun?
Yeah.
What's who's
Beth Bayoun?
Caddies who are comics who work at Bayoun.
There are.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're so
that's
is that weird for you?
It is weird.
That's gotta be.
It's weird.
Where they're like struggling comics and you're a member?
Yep. I won't let them carry my bag. Because then they just want to talk to me about comedy the whole
right.
time. Yeah. And I don't, I'm not out there to fucking talk
right.
about
comedy. Right, you're out there to golf.
I want to just be in my own world.
What, how did you become a member? Is it hard?
No.
You just had to have gone to Harvard?
That
probably helped.
I joined 6 years ago.
Okay.
And back then, the initiation when you were under like 30 was somewhat more doable. It's gotten pretty high now.
How, like... Is there like a box? Like, are you casually racist, mildly racist, very racist? You got to check that.
This club is the most sort of diverse. Nobody cares.
Like, they got like five or six
yeah.
black people
at most.
Yeah. I love the yeah, like the country clubs. Just by nature, they're the last places in America where it's just yeah. like yeah, we don't.
But this is
it's
this
like
is,
they'll be like, yeah, there's just no Jewish people here.
This is just a golf loud. Course, so it's not like a technically a country club. There's
right.
no tennis or pool or anything like that. And it's like it attracts a young New York City crowd,
all street
professionals.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys from India. There's a lot of Asian Americans.
What? Who's the most famous person who's a member?
There are some, but I don't know that I can say.
Mm. Mike Greenberg.
I've played with him a few times, and I think so. I think that's probably known. Yeah,
okay.
I got a funny story about Greeny. So I went to Game 6 of the NBA Finals, Celtics, Golden State. Saw Dave and
one ticket.
Hank, no, I brought
that up. That is your move. I remember that.
Wait, is that my move?
You bought. I want to say in 2018.
Yeah,
you bought one ticket to Game 7 of the World Series. I was like, why?
Yeah,
and you're like, well, if it happens, it'll be sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "Well, are you really into baseball?" You're like, "Nah, not really." But like, think about how cool. And you're kind of right. But I would like, why wouldn't you buy two tickets? But yeah,
because
I remember you bought that one ticket.
I figure I'll make friends with the people.
Yeah, then. right.
That's a good move.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. When you explained it to me, I was like, "Ah, actually, I kind of agree with you now."
I like high-fiving strangers at sports games.
Yeah. I do feel like the loner gets taken under the wing of the people. Because I used to go to Phillies games alone, and like when I lived in San Diego and stuff. And like even the Padres fans would be like, come over here, hang out with it. Like people are nice. Like,
yeah.
I used to have, when I had Cubs season tickets, I wouldn't find anyone. Like it would be a day game, and I wouldn't be able to go with anyone. And I would go by myself. And I actually do enjoy baseball. Yeah. You can just sit there and you actually, like, without having to be in a conversation, can lock in.
Hmm.
But I just remember, and I don't even think it went seven games.
It didn't.
Yeah, right. You were just like,
I was bummed
if this goes seven, I will have a ticket.
Well, so I have a new strategy. By the way, are we sponsored by
Game Time?
Cool. So use Game Time for all your ticket needs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so what I have this new strategy, which I've done a few times, which is if a team I really like, Celtics, right, makes it to the playoffs, then in round one, you can buy Game 7 NBA Finals fourth round of the playoffs tickets if it happens.
Right.
And if miraculously the Celtics make it to the finals and the finals goes seven games.
And they have a home game, yeah.
By the time that game actually happens, the value of your ticket will have really gone up because people will theoretically be more invested in the series. And you can either decide to go and you'll have bought it at a much cheaper price, or you could sell it back on the website on Game Time.
Yeah.
And make a profit.
Yeah. Smart. So wait, so what happened with this Game 6?
Well, I had bought the tickets a round earlier or something, and it happened. And the Celtics, as you might remember, won Game 1. I think they won Game 3 or something. They were up 2-1 against Golden State.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be the title-clinching game in Boston. Holy shit. Then they proceeded to lose
Steph Curry
the next three games, and I went to the game where they lost the finals.
And you saw Dave and Hank?
I saw Dave and Hank. I saw Hank. He was walking back to their seats. I went, Hank, 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 Hank. And they're, you know, he's ignoring me because he thinks I'm just a fan,
oh,
which I am, but I'm also a friend.
Yes, and a coworker again.
Yeah. And so I had to give him like 10 Hanks before he finally was like, what the fuck?
Because once you say it enough that other people around you notice, you have to get their attention or you have to walk away and shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
but this is the really sad part. I went, I waved at him. He was like, And then he tapped Dave on the shoulder and was like, that was Francis. I could see him whisper that or like say to him, that Francis is here. And Dave was like, just kept walking. didn't even look for me.
Oh, sweet. What about Greeny in this story?
So Greeny and Stephen A. were doing the halftime analysis, and they are in the stadium. They're not up in the box.
They're right there in like the second level where with the whole stadium behind them. Yeah,
they were even closer for this. They were sort of on a platform that had been built almost over the tunnel exit.
Okay.
And so I was pretty close to him, and everyone's yelling, Stephen A., Greeny, whatever. So I'm doing the same thing now. I'm going, Greeny, we play golf. Greeny, we play golf. Bayon. Finally, I got his attention, and he looked at me, raised his eyebrows, and just did a golf
swing for me. Oh, what a customer.
Which was great.
Damn.
Recognition.
How many times you played with him?
I said I've played with him a few times. I think I've played with him once.
Ah,
but we've tried to organize multiple rounds.
Is he good?
He's good. He's a really nice guy.
He better?
Too. I think he would say I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a nice way of answering that.
My guess would be that I get to play more than he does.
There's my.
That's a pretty damn clean scorecard.
Yeah, that's 70. That's 72 at Shinnecock.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You have a calligrapher put that down for you?
No big deal.
Oh, 13. Nice.
Yeah. A bunch of birdies, back-to-back birdies there on 6 and 7. Finished. I was very upset with double bogey 18. On 18. So I would have, if I had just parred that, I would have been 70 par. And then what was the, I think it was 132 at my other one, TJ, if you can, at Frankie, and I went out with Frankie, Trent, and Hank. Tough day. Like I said, I watched a video on my grip. I don't know what, something happened. You also are not supposed to have your phone out at Shinnecock.
Yeah.
And then Elio texted me and was like, hey, it was during Saratoga was running. He's like, I really like the fifth horse in this seventh race. So I not only took my phone out to bet it, but I also watched it. And the member was not happy. He kind of gave me a look what are you doing, dude?
Did you actually go out there for a round of golf?
Yeah, I played. I played with Frankie.
Oh.
Yeah. Frankie, okay. It was Frankie, my brother-in-law, and then we Frankie knew a member. So yeah, this was at Frankie's place. 132. Tough. But four birdies. Not bad, right?
I don't even know what to make of this. It's such a strange.
You blew up right on two.
It's such a strange level of honesty and dishonesty.
Yeah, right. Right. I got everyone at the perfect spot. It's really great.
Well, if he's got an 11 there, maybe he did have three birdies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, he's not lying about the 72, because why would he lie about a 130?
Yeah, I mean, I tell the truth. And the nice thing about getting the 72 is I had so many people reach out to me being like, I didn't know you were this good at golf. And it was incredible. Like Will Zalatoris, Justin Thomas, Blake Griffin, all of them hitting me up being like, dude, I had no idea you were – I didn't even know this phrase. I guess I'm a stick is what they call it.
Stick, yeah.
I'm a stick.
It's a stick.
Will Zalatoris like, I didn't know you were a stick. And I was like, I guess I am, dude.
Hell yeah.
Because he said that he shot like a 76 at Shinnecock. And I was like, well, if you need some tips, I'll help you out.
Yeah, yeah.
I stupidly believed it.
Yeah. No, what do you mean? It's the truth.
Ha.
72 and 132. Again.
All right. Noted.
Tell the truth.
Here's a funny golf story. So, remember Matt Lauer?
Oh, yeah.
The button.
Yeah.
Button guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hero of yours, right?
Hero. Hero. Yeah.
Only recently become a hero of yours.
Right, yeah.
No, he, so I was playing a course with Riggs, actually. And he, I was on the driving range with Michael Phelps. And they're good friends from the Olympics, because Lauer used to always cover the Olympics. This is right after everything had happened and come out about Matt Lauer.
So he was golfing in public?
So it's like a totally private course.
Yeah.
But they teed off right in front of us. And I'm not kidding you. So Michael Phelps would hit, and then he would go out to his ball. And then they would wait, and then Lauer would hit. And Michael Phelps would be walking 200 yards ahead, even though he was playing with Matt Lauer the whole time. And the reason I found out was because paparazzi. They were so afraid that paparazzi were going to photograph them together that they couldn't be close to each other.
Why wouldn't they just not
go out? Exactly. Yeah. What? Why?
I would, if I were Michael Phelps, be like, yeah, it's kind of hot right now, yeah. Matt. Let's just take a break.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go golf by yourself?
Yeah. Huh.
Are you better than Riggs?
I'm not sure.
What's your handicap?
Right now it's 5.5.
I'm a 6.2.
Damn.
132 really fucked me up. I was scratch.
I bet.
Yeah. So I got to start logging my scores.
You should.
I really should. I really should. It's fun to log your scores.
Sucks. I didn't play for a month because it was in Africa.
Oh, damn. I didn't know you went
no
to Africa.
No courses in Rwanda?
They might have them.
They definitely do.
Yeah.
Isn't golf pretty big in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, my dad is actually a 7.5 handicap, I believe.
Damn. Have your parents come to America?
Yeah, they used to. So my mom went to school here.
Oh, okay. Have they visited, though, you recently?
The last time they were here for me was my graduation. They did visit their grandkids in 2018.
We got to get them here.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Get them on the
air. No, actually not.
No?
No. I don't want my dad anywhere near here.
I would like to play golf with him.
You can come. Actually, come to Zimbabwe. We've got some nice courses.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I just, someday I'll golf. Someday we'll pick it up. It's just, there's just not enough.
Yeah.
Again,
too much.
It's like, well, no, it's like I said, Saturday and Sundays, I watch all the games, so it's like, if I didn't have to do that, I would definitely be like, oh, I can go golf for a few hours.
Yeah, I think you got to just go like once a year to stay relatively good enough for when you are retirement age and want to play.
Yeah.
That would be my strategy.
I would love to get into it and actually play a lot.
Yeah.
But I just think about, yeah, like if I did on a Saturday, it was like, I'm going to go golf for 4 hours and then I come back. I'm like, and now I'm going to watch 15 straight hours of college football.
That isn't doable.
No, that's not doable.
You can't. I just.
I would love to.
That much time for myself.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, you know?
And yeah, if they could figure out a way to play golf, you could play 12 holes in like 2.5 hours a month.
You know what was great during COVID when they had the bigger holes?
Yeah.
And it was just everything was a one putt on the green.
That's nice.
It was quick.
Yeah.
Although they put those stoppers in the holes because they didn't want everyone reaching into the hole and putting their germs all over them.
We kind of overreacted to the whole COVID
thing. Sure did. Sure did. Yeah. Fucking all fake.
Whoops.
Yeah. But the problem with that, when they had those like styrofoam inserts in the holes, was you never heard when you made that putt. You never heard that satisfying drop of the ball into the hole.
They should have speakers with like a sensor that plays that sound anyway.
Ooh.
Even that would be if nice. It's not.
Yeah. What's the fun of a made free throw without the swoosh?
There you go.
True.
Exactly.
Damn.
I go golfing with my dad, I love him if he's listening, but he's like blind as a bat. Like he has a cornea transplant. Like he doesn't even have his own corneas in his
actually
eyes.
Blind.
Yeah. And so
he's got another man's corneas.
I stink and he's got another man's corneas and we just hit the golf course and we can't see shit. TJ, I sent you a picture in the Twitter DMs of us golfing this.
Your dad's very blind.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell that's a blind guy smile. That's a whole, I mean, you know, a blind guy smile.
But the two of us are on the course. We're like driving up on the curbs and we never like, we don't even keep score. We're just like, well, we lost the balls on this one. Let's move on to the next hole. Like we're very easygoing and like, it's nice because he's not like, he doesn't try and give me tips or help me out. We just like know that we're there to have a good time.
Yes.
And so I suck at golf, but I do really enjoy it.
It's fun.
It's really fun. Yeah.
Every round's a twilight round for your dad.
Yeah.
It's fun to be out there.
Yeah.
And I don't care about it. I always bring like 40 balls and I'll hit one that's like 10 feet into the woods or like 5 feet into the woods. It's like, fuck it.
I'll leave them in the sand.
Yeah.
Like the bright yellow balls, and we're like, no, we don't know where that went.
I think one of the great joys of golf is going into the woods and finding a bunch of balls.
You think so?
100%.
Oh, not your own.
No,
yeah,
no.
Other balls. Okay, yeah,
going
to
find brand new balls.
Yeah, yeah.
People have not gone to.
I think
that makes sense.
Your own.
Oh, all my friends who lived near golf courses when they were kids, that was the bit. They would have like buckets of balls, and they were like, they would go find them at like the night or whatever. Not at night, but like
resell them
and resell them and stuff. Yeah,
smart, very smart.
Going to the water hazards with a snorkel, that kind of shit.
I have to go. I have my first dentist appointment, and I'm too embarrassed to say how long, but I'm like a dentist phobe.
So am I.
Can you do me a favor? Can you take a picture of my gums and ask if I can keep dipping?
Absolutely. Yes, I would definitely do that.
Show up to your dentist and be like, hey, can you take a look at these real quick?
I got a gag for you.
Oh, go on.
Which is really uncomfortable.
Okay.
Is that for the entirety of your cleaning, you have to maintain eye contact the person who's cleaning your mouth.
Staring right at their faces.
Just can't look away. You got to look at their eyes.
When was the last time you went, Kate? I hate to ask.
Dude, it's been so long that like it's not even funny. It's like upsettingly disgusting.
Oh, this is going to this is suck for you.
It's been
beautiful. You can't be worse than me.
Oh, this is going to suck for you though, cuz I did this. Like probably when we moved to New York, I didn't go to the dentist for, I don't know, a couple of years. And then I went and they were like, you realize that if you come, like they tell you to go every 6 months, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. But you're in for pain. Been. When I tell you.
2 years would be bad?
2 years was bad.
The last time I went was at my last job when I worked for Viacom. And that was like. It's been like so long. And then I just, I got a cleaning then. I made an appointment and I didn't know I was pregnant, so they couldn't do the x-rays.
Kate.
I had a cleaning like 2 years ago, but before that, it's been like, I haven't had x-rays in like 7 years.
You're a freak.
I'm going to be like Swiss.
You're a mongrel.
Like, I'm going to have to get so much dental work done probably. And I think that's why I keep putting it off, because I know once they like look in there, they're going to be like, you need like 10 surgeries and like 8 teeth. Like, it's fucking disgusting, but I hate it.
Can you just like request to just be put under and have them all done at once?
I swear, if I could do that, like they're gonna, like I'm already like kind of
like a tiger
thinking about
a tiger gets their teeth cleaned.
Knock me out and do
all I've asked for that. You can't. They won't do that. They won't put. There's like some kind of law about like being a doctor. You can't just like put people under.
There are like certain procedures in that threshold and certain arm or whatever. Yeah.
All right, well, good luck, Kate.
Thank you.
I'm actually nervous for you. You've actually made me. I just texted my dentist. No. So I was like, I should probably come in.
Well, if you feel bad for me, use promo code Kate for 10% off. And be sure to get your paperweight, something to hold you down, hang out with the Yak Crew while you're listening. Promo code Kate, 10% off. Yes, thanks, guys.
Merch actually texted me. They said if you buy the paperweight, you get firing power over one person at your job.
Whoa!
Oh.
So if you buy the paperweight,
you can fire
one coworker.
Kat, you're on a texting basis with your dentist?
He's a stoolie.
Oh, okay.
So he's a great dude.
That helps.
Yeah.
That's a big help.
No, it is a big help. He was like, I can't. Oh, actually, his brother was sick and he was a big fan and he hit me up and I like made a video and then he was like, hey, I'm a dentist. If you ever want to come in, I was like, yeah I kind of probably need one. Mm-hmm. And so he's good because he'll remind me, and he also knows, like, he watches stuff, so he knows that like I dip, and so he'll tell me the truth.
Interesting.
So yeah.
Can I ask you some questions that I've had over the last 3 years?
Sure. Let's do it. Wait, I'm going to text him back. When do I want to come in? When do I want to go in? Next week?
Ask him if you could bring a plug.
Do the ad, and then we'll do question time.
We should do an episode steak, from Francis. Your cleaning.
Mm.
That would suck.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good job, guys.
Questions for Big Kate.
I'm nervous for Kate.
For her mouth?
Dude, if you don't go to the dentist for a while, it sucks so bad.
You're going to be bleeding a lot.
A lot. A
lot of blood.
I had
glitter from Majestic yesterday still in her molars.
Yeah. I had multiple cavities, a root canal. It's the fucking worst.
That's all stuff, painful stuff.
Yeah,
root canals
suck.
That sensation of your mouth regaining sensation is so strange.
Yeah. Root canals are brutal.
Yeah.
You just are sore, and it's just, ugh.
I've never had one. I've always taken care of my teeth.
Well, you know what? It was actually completely self-inflicted. I hate going to the dentist so much. I had four cavities, two on each side. Went to the dentist, got two filled, and then just made up an excuse. I was literally in the dentist chair. They were doing the cavities, and I was like, oh, I have something I have to run, so can we do the other two next week? And they're like, sure. And then I just didn't go back. And then 2 years later, they're like, they're root canals now. And I was like, well, that makes sense.
What is a root canal?
It's the root dies in your tooth. So they have to like go in, they have to clean it out, and it's like it's decaying like deep into your tooth.
Damn.
It sucks.
It does suck. Well, here's my question. First question that I have for you.
And I want to dim the lights for this or something?
Get
intimate.
I have no idea what these questions are.
Okay. When Kobe Bryant passed away.
Yes.
Did that make you feel more elite for having interviewed him on your show?
So,
like in how if you buy a painting and then the painter dies, it becomes more valuable.
So yes, but do you know the story of Laker Dan?
No.
Okay. Laker Dan was an unfortunate timing on my part.
Oh.
Probably the most unfortunate timing on my part. The night before Kobe Bryant tragically passed away, I'm pretty sure LeBron was about to pass him for all-time points.
Yeah, they were neck and neck.
I started tweeting how LeBron James is the best Laker of all time, and he's better than Kobe Bryant as a Laker, and I ranked my top Lakers, and I left Kobe off, and then he died like 12 hours later.
Whoa.
So everyone was putting up the tweets being like, what the fuck? They like were pretending the tweets were like current.
You're Laker Dan.
I'm Laker Dan.
Oh, I thought it was some guy.
No, no, I'm Laker Dan. I became Laker Dan for a night as a troll.
Yeah.
And it was basically just to pretend that like it was Kobe erasure from Laker history. And then he literally was erased from the world.
Yeah, the face of the earth.
Yeah. Jesus. It was quite something.
Yeah.
It was really like I actually had to do I knew I hadn't done anything wrong because like. Fuck, I didn't know that Kobe was about to die.
Yeah.
But I had to
preach
into
the choir here.
Right, exactly. Although I didn't slut shame him.
Even him off the list.
I had to like delete a couple tweets because it was like people were pretending that I was saying it as like currently. They were pretending that I was saying Kobe like is not a top five Laker all time after he died.
Yikes.
And we were on a plane, too. It was wild. We were going to the Super Bowl. It was right before COVID. It was like the last thing that we did. And I remember you could hear it on the plane, like as we landed, like the wave of people finding out. It was very bizarre.
Interesting.
But yeah, I did get to interview him. It was an incredible interview. Incredible guy. But yeah, so the Laker Dan part kind of ruined that. But then he had the helicopter answer in the interview, which was weird. It went re-viral.
Wait, what?
So he had an answer. A-Rod asked him something about, like, how does he make time for everything? A-Rod was really good at asking questions that, like, completely don't relate to anyone but, like, the two people. He was like, so, like, you're busy. Like, you take a helicopter everywhere. And I was just sitting there like, well, this, like, no one listening is going to think like, oh, yeah, my helicopter. But Kobe went on to say, like, he wants to be present for his kids and, like, he wants to be there. And so he would take a helicopter to and from practice to make sure that he had more time at home. And, like, just having that clip go re-viral was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Kobe.
That's crazy. Well, that was well answered, my friend.
Okay.
That was really the big one I had for you.
Okay.
I don't know.
You could have texted me that, but yeah.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I know. I just hope that this wasn't, like, weighing on you.
No.
No. Since Kobe passed, you've just been thinking about this.
Staring at the ceiling fan in your bedroom.
Well, what would happen would be I would see you in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I would think, maybe now's the right time to ask him
the Kobe question.
But then I'd say, oh, damn it. You know, this is where he lives, and I don't want to violate his privacy. And I've said this before, but there are times where I see you and I don't say hi to you because I don't want to bother you.
You should say hi. The other Daniel Rapport said the same. He's, you know, the new Foreplay guy.
Yes.
He lives in Dumbo as well. And he was just like, yeah, I see you, but I don't say hi. I was like, why?
Because you're of a caliber where I think you deserve time to not have people say
that.
Hi to
I
you.
I don't know.
I haven't earned that yet.
Quick hello.
I don't have the status to deserve privacy yet. You know,
you deserve privacy.
Sometimes I'll be riding the Peloton in the gym, and
you'll see me on the street.
I'll see you.
Bang
then
on
I
window.
Get off the bike and go do something.
Jerk
else.
Off while watching me
mid workout, so you won't just see me up there sweating away, looking at you.
I'm really bad at looking up at stuff. Like I don't. There'll be like new stores or something will come in the neighborhood or even around this neighborhood, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that new store. And like, yeah, that was like a year ago. You just never lifted your face up. So
I did that with Smashburger. I thought that was brand new.
Yeah.
It's been 18 months.
Yeah. It's been here for a while. Yeah. What's the other question?
No, that
was it. That was just Kobe.
Well, now I'm trying to think of other ones, but I'm sure I have more. So maybe we could do a thing where
we'll catch up.
I'll come on, pardon my take, and say and do one question.
Yeah.
Per episode, and people will love it.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you've been waiting this long to get the Kobe answer. Dan was quite something. I wonder if there's any tweets that are still. It was just the timing was just unreal. People were accusing me of killing him.
How could you have done that?
Voodoo doll.
You don't know how to scramble the coordinates of a helicopter.
I was channeling the inner Laker fans who think LeBron is like their guy.
Uh-huh.
LeBron is a mercenary at this point in his career. Mm. And I don't think any Laker fans actually believe this. Kobe means more to the Lakers. Kobe meant more to the Lakers than I would say most. Like, you can't name a lot of sports players that mean more to a single franchise. Mm. Like, just being in, if you've ever been to LA, the amount of people that are like Kobe fan, like, Kobe is their guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, here's another question I have for you. Yeah. In all the years that you've been doing this, you've interviewed some absolutely enormous people. Who is left that would give you jitters and butterflies and make you feel like a child again?
I think Kevin Durant.
Really?
Yeah, it would be nerves. I think Bill Belichick. LeBron. I'd love to interview Donald Trump. That was a joke. Zah laughed. You guys didn't give me anything. Zah was cracking up.
Well,
yeah. Oh, I remember the day.
What about, okay, so do you ever, is there any part of you that thinks that maybe someone like LeBron is aware of things that you've joked about and said about him and therefore has made up his mind already that he would never do an interview with you?
LeBron, no. Kevin Durant, yes.
Really?
Kevin Durant, definitely. Mm. He just leaves me unread on Instagram DMs.
But also, that's not personal, right? Like, doesn't he not do anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Big deal. I think someday he might. I don't know. I've kind of given up.
Like Letterman. It was probably, like, the first thing he had appeared on in forever.
Yeah, I'm probably too desperate with him. I think Belichick we'd get eventually. I'm trying to think who else. Rodgers was a big one, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan,
technically.
We were offered Jordan for, like, it was like Zoom 15 minutes. I was like, no.
Yeah, for less.
I was like, that's going to be a waste. Like, I would obviously love to interview Michael Jordan, but I think it would have to be in person. Like, that's what I wouldn't do.
That would be such a weird way to, like, have that dream.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it wouldn't, and he does no media. So, like, there are definitely people who, if they were offered, I would be like, if they're offered in a specific, like, hey, Zoom 15 minutes, I'd be like, no, thank you. Mm. We got one actually coming up, a big one, that they were offered to us for 15 minutes. I was like, no. And then they came back and were like, all right, we can do 30, and hopefully we'll be able to stretch it a little more. Mm. But it's a big one that Hall of Famer.
Ooh.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Okay, another question.
That narrows it down.
I'm sorry, Owen.
This is great. This is what I do every show.
Cool. Have you increased your unit size gambling in accordance with your income? That's awesome. That's pretty cool. I've always wanted to, weird. I like to gamble, but I'm so bad at it.
Well, everyone is.
That I am very humble in my unit size. My unit size is not in accordance.
We don't unit shame.
Okay.
But yes, my units have grown substantially, responsibly, but also, yeah, they've grown.
There's been some large plays.
There's been some large plays.
Are you open about it?
I give a little bit of here and there, but it's also kind of weird because it's like,
I get it.
I don't know. It's like a no win. Like Dave posts his bet slips, but like I'm always like, all right, if I post my bet slip, people are gonna be like, oh, you're gambling that much, you idiot. Like, oh, sick. And so it's just like I'm gambling what I think is a reasonable amount for what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot.
Can I ask you what is the largest single wager you've ever placed?
I think the game of the year for Bills Chiefs, I'm pretty sure that was 50.
Holy moly.
That's the most. I might have been 40.
Did you win?
That one I won.
Oh my god!
The game of the years have been around 30 to 50. They've varied around that.
So you had Chiefs? Did you Chiefs cover that?
Chiefs spills over.
Oh, you had the over. Well, fuck, and it hit as a result of the last 2 minutes.
Correct. It was very intense.
I've watched that. I mean, I've gone back to watch that so many times. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because the problem is unfortunately, I've done 9 Game of the Years now, which that doesn't really make sense. And that's only been in the last 10 months. but so they've all varied, but they've been in that range.
Yeah. Okay, another question. Do you like spending your money?
I don't really have anything that I'm interested in besides gambling.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't know, even with increased wealth, you have no material desires.
I have nice shoes.
Instagram ads. Aren't you a big Instagram ad guy and Amazon?
Oh, I buy random shit. Yeah. Yeah. Like, but then I don't even open it. That's stupid.
Optically, you spend a lot, but it's all little things.
Right. It's all, I'm a very big, I'm
buy tchotchkes.
Yeah. Like a $200, $300 thing I won't blink at.
Floating cup.
Yeah.
Floating cup. I bought the floating cup. That was like $700. But like, yeah, I don't really have any.
You're not like cars, watches.
Cars? No, I don't have cars. I have a car, but I don't have like cars. I don't have like nice clothes. I buy some shoes, but I'm kind of not even into shoes anymore. I got into shoes a little bit. Now I just like these Jordan MA2s that I wear. I like all the different colorways because they're just comfortable.
Yeah, those are nice too.
I'm trying to think. I mean, like vacations a little.
Experiences, I would think.
Yeah, but not.
It's great, though.
Yeah, but I don't. I really just like to gamble, man. Like, I really like to gamble. It's very fun. I like it a lot.
Which is an experience.
My favorite thing.
But I presume when you move back to Chicago, you'll want to maybe buy a house?
Yeah, and also still gamble.
Will you make a decision on your budget for your house based on your gambling allowance?
No. I have no. And I'll probably have a great year for the rest of the year, so that'll probably pay for it itself.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a very simple man. I don't really. There's not a lot going on in my head, other than like family's happy and healthy, and I can gamble.
I covet things.
That's about it. Yeah. See,
I can't help myself.
I've never had that. Like, if you told me that I could just have like a nice house. You know, it doesn't have to be over the top, and I have enough TVs that I can watch every game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much good.
Damn, dude.
Do you covet?
I've always been this way, even since I was a kid.
Like what?
Like, when I was a child, I would covet toys.
Yeah.
And then I can trace my obsessions by age. You know,
go through them.
Well, okay. As a little kid, I'm pretty sure I was obsessed with, like, Power Ranger action figures.
Wait, that was great camera work by TJ.
Yeah, this is my beater too.
Okay, Power Ranger. Yeah,
is Power Ranger.
He would never wear his nice one to Barstool.
I did. I wore it a couple days ago, but nobody talked about it, and therefore I was happy not to talk about it.
Okay, so Power Rangers.
Power Ranger action toys. Then I got into Star Wars action figures.
Okay.
Then I got, and I'm sure I'm leaving some like gaps here, but
yeah.
Then I got into basketball cards. Big time. And I'm talking like I would mow lawns.
Right.
I would look after people's cats in the neighborhood when they went away. I'm making, you know, $3 a weekend.
Right. Just to get that. Yeah.
Lemonade stands, anything to just buy more packs of basketball cards, more packs to find inserts, to find holographic cards, you know, all that. And then you in like within a year or two, you've just like completely moved out of that.
Right.
Pokemon cards were in there somewhere. I think Magic the Gathering, even though I didn't know how to play the fucking game.
Yeah.
Then I got into, in high school, I probably had like a little bit of a clothing thing for a bit there, but let's fast forward, got into sneakers.
Yep.
Right.
I remember you had some really nice sneakers.
Got really into sneakers for a bit there. And then I got into, now I'm into watches, and I can't, it's just,
is that the only adult thing, sneakers and watches? Have you gotten into anything else?
I'm sure there are other things, but it's like things that I know that that other people are obsessed and that there's a culture behind that thing. And I look at it and I'm like, fuck that. I have no interest in that. Like right now I'm like, I don't need a nice car.
Right.
I've never needed a nice car. Fuck, I don't care. And I just know myself well enough now to know that I will probably get to an age
where you want
to
know
I'm going to become obsessed with cars.
Right. Right.
And the sad part is that for me, it's often something that other people say, oh, it's impossible to get that.
Huh.
And then I say, mm-mm, I will see your challenge.
Challenge,
and
yeah.
I'm now going to utilize every fiber of my networking ability. I'm going to lean on whatever minor clout I might have from being on Instagram to facilitate friendships and meet the right people and play the long game to acquire those things.
I like that. I mean, that's also why you're successful, because yeah. you have that like drive. I'm thinking back to like when I was maybe 12 years old, family vacation in Florida, I won $100 on a turtle race at a bar. And from that day on, I was like, well, that was easy. Just winning and gambling. I was like, I don't, that sounds like the, yeah, like let's yeah. just do that instead of the other stuff.
I mean, but the sad part is if you think about like what, how much money would I have if I just had restraint?
Oh, I mean, well, you don't have to, you're,
I would have.
I'd
be set.
Gamble.
I'd be set financially.
Yeah.
If I had restraint, if I had just been putting all that money that I was spending on stuff that I would get over in a short period of time.
But it gives you happiness, no?
Fleeting. Fleeting.
Yeah.
It's all is. But yeah.
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 I think it's the chase. It's the chase of the thing.
I mean, if you're self-aware about it, I think that makes it not okay, but like a little bit more. You know, like if you had a problem where you were compulsively buying things and you didn't, and you kept on telling yourself, like, ah, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, that would be a little different, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, probably. But there's this interesting phenomenon where when you become an adult and you actually start making a real salary and you all of a sudden have financial independence, where, you know, I remember as a kid, the only reason I didn't eat candy all the time was because my parents wouldn't give me money to get candy all
right,
the time.
Right. Right.
But at that age, if I had been making money, I would have been buying candy constantly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, out of college, whatever, you get to this point where you're like, oh, there's no one around to tell me I can't buy three pairs of Jordans today.
Right. Right.
Like, fine. And then you get to a point where you're like, oh, rent's going to be a little tough this month because I bought three pairs of Jordans.
Yeah, that was stupid, yeah.
And so you have to learn that lesson. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, it's just a very difficult self-taught lesson that doesn't arrive that well.
My thing is ice cream. I just eat too much ice cream.
Do you really?
Yeah, I eat ice cream all the time.
Have you ever?
That would be like the similar, like, yeah. not like being a kid, being like, oh, I wish I could eat ice cream all the time, and then I became an adult and was like, I can, and no one's going to stop me.
Yeah.
And I still do. Had an ice cream cone from like the Mr. Softy van last yeah. night.
Sometimes I wonder how handsome you would be if you lost 30 pounds.
I think I would be good. I think I would be like pretty striking.
You're really good looking.
Yeah. Guy. No, I think about that too sometimes.
You also have a great hairline.
Yeah, if I could just get like back down to like 200.
What are you now?
A lot. I don't think you need
40,
to. I don't think you need to get to 200.
210?
I think 220.
Yeah, there it is. There I am. That's me when I used to do CrossFit. That was like the nicest mean thing that could ever be said to someone. What you just did to me. Sometimes I wonder how striking you'd be if you lost 30 pounds. No, it was not. It actually, like, I know what you were saying. So I
think
I didn't
there's a
take offense to it.
There's a part of me that wonders if you won't allow yourself to, you know, to lose weight because it would somehow discredit the character.
No. I would much rather have energy and feel good and look good. I just don't. I'm now at the point, I'm 37. I think 40 is when I'm going to try to start taking care of myself.
But I've
kind of given myself another 2.5 years to just like do whatever.
Uh-huh.
Eat ice cream.
Yeah.
It starts at 40.
Yeah.
Is what I've done to myself.
40 is the Monday of life.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, that's when people usually are like, oh, I got to get in shape for my kids. Like, yeah. I went to the doctor. They told me I have heart disease.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that will be my 40. I have 2.5 years to do whatever the fuck I want.
Well, you look at some of the actors that get in shape for roles at 40 and get super cut up.
Well, they do HGH.
They do.
I would like to do HGH.
The point is that the human body is capable of looking crazy jacked
with HGH
after 40.
They all do steroids.
Certainly.
I mean, they all. Do you do steroids?
No.
Have you?
No. I did creatine for the first time.
Yeah,
in the lead up to my wedding.
He was on that last week.
Yeah,
he wasn't raving about it.
I took it for a few months. I put on a lot of weight. I got bulky. I looked like
swell, right?
Yeah, and then the idea is, I think you're supposed to cut after that. But then I started worrying that I wasn't going to have, I wouldn't know how to do that. And wouldn't commit to it, and I just didn't want to be
stuck at
a Macy's Day Parade float at my wedding.
Right.
I thought it'd be funny at first if I looked like John Cena at my wedding.
That would be funny.
Like John
Cena
in a suit.
The most jacked you've ever been in your life.
Yeah, just
for that one day.
Bulbous. A bag filled with eggplants. And just distracting everyone from my bride. All eyes on this guy who looks like a fucking plastic bag filled with cans and soup. You know, it's like bulging.
You are. Bodybuilders in suits. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You have Ronnie Coleman, lightweight.
Yeah.
Nothing but a peanut.
But then I sort of backed off of it, and I stopped taking it, and dude, shrinking off of creatine is a very demoralizing.
Really? Experience. You could notice it?
Oh, instantly. The weight just pours off. You know,
so I need to do creatine and then lose the weight.
Ooh.
I think you could start to cut on the bulk you've already got.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an inspirational cheat. You just do creatine for a week, then lose the creatine weight.
Yeah.
Not
I've always
idea.
Said I wish I drank so that, because it's so easy for people to, when they're like, they lose 15 pounds. Like, what'd you do? Oh, I stopped drinking for a month.
A cheat code.
Do you not drink?
I do, but I don't like.
Doesn't affect your weight.
Well, no, I don't. I'm not like I'll go like a month without drinking.
How many drinks do you have a week typically?
Zero.
Really?
Yeah. I just don't really like feeling like shit when I wake up the next morning.
Nor do I, but it's culturally, it feels impossible to me to not have.
I don't really go out.
Drink on the weekend.
I don't go out. I'll smoke some weed.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Do you smoke?
But then when I do go out, I go 100.
Uh-huh.
I either like going zero or 100.
No wonder the fucking case race.
Are you going to do one with us?
I would love to, but I would know to prepare for it.
Yeah.
I would start drinking beer in the lead up.
See, that's the thing, is I didn't do any of that, but I feel like I still have the ability to just go to 100 if I need to.
But that's like, if I did that and I didn't let my liver know, hey, you know, storms are coming, I would be sick.
Yeah.
It would really affect me.
I've been microdosing mushrooms recently.
I love that.
Very nice.
The chocolate bars.
Yeah.
It's very in vogue.
I went on a bachelor party and I accidentally macrodosed everyone, which was very funny.
It's
first night I gave it out and it was just, everyone was tripping.
Yeah.
They were like, I thought it was a microdose. Like, whoops.
It's really good. I did it with Nate Diaz.
Really?
At dinner, yeah.
You went to dinner with Nate Diaz?
I did.
What the fuck?
And Shane Gillis.
Oh, sick.
Didn't you have a rule you were going to take every drug and drink every drink Nate Diaz did?
Yes.
And how did that go?
It was hard.
Yeah.
He's a machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a vegan. So we were in L.A. shooting Gillian Keefe's season 2. And
were you in that?
Yeah. I was in season 1, too.
What sketches?
Season 2 hasn't come out yet.
Oh, okay. What sketch were you in season 1?
I was the pastor at the wedding, the blind wedding one.
I feel like I watched all of them.
The blind guy ruins a wedding.
I might have not watched that one.
The reverend.
Watched most of them. So are you in a bunch of season 2?
I'm in a couple, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I was supposed to be in another one where they actually named the character Francis, but I couldn't make the shoot. And unfortunately, I've seen it, and that one's fucking hilarious.
Shit.
This is this guy Francis, and that actor kills it. And I'm like, God damn it. But the ones I'm in, I really enjoy too. And they're, I mean, it's just so funny.
So funny.
But yeah, we were in LA. We had just finished shooting. And
there you are.
Yeah, that's me. And we ironically just ran into Nate Diaz in the pool bar of the hotel that Shane and a bunch of people were staying in. And Shane had met him like a month earlier through Rogan, I think.
Okay.
And hung out with him. So Nate and his crew were going out to a very cool vegan restaurant. Nate's a vegan.
Yeah.
And they asked us to come. And so we, like three or four of us, went, and they had a private room in the restaurant. We sat down. We moved a bunch of tables into this like different configuration so we could all talk.
Yeah.
Which was awkward, by the way. Because moving the tables took a long time.
And yeah, and everyone looking at you, and you're just like, oh,
I'm just moving tables like I work there.
Yeah.
You know? And everyone's like, dude, you know.
Ever easy.
There was such an element of like, don't try too hard to seem like you're positioning yourself to talk to Nate Diaz.
But you wanted to.
100%.
Of course. Yes.
100%.
Yes. Always tough to be like, That awkward when you walk into a dinner party or a dinner and you're like, I shouldn't sit next to the guy, but let me sit one over from the guy and hope that I'm on the right side that he talks. Because it could go the wrong way where he talks to the right side and you're on the left side.
Yeah.
It is a problem, yeah.
And the other problem is Nate Diaz is not easy to understand.
No.
He sort of speaks like Farmer Fran from The Waterboy.
Yeah.
A little bit. And so you need to be kind of close to him to decipher what he's saying.
So did you sit next to him?
No, but I sat far. Luckily, the room was small enough and the dinner was intimate enough that we were all within earshot.
Got it. Nice.
And we sat down, ordered a bunch of... So already at the pool bar, he was like, let's do a shot. I don't do it that well, but yeah. You know, you can.
That was Mike Tyson.
It's weirdly close.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So we did a big. It was like a big shot too, because like the place didn't serve shots, so they just poured it in like a glass.
Yeah.
So I was like, too much.
Probably shot. 3 shots.
Yeah. Went to the restaurant. Sit down. Let's do some shots. You know, and he's, by the way,
he's got a little John in him, it sounds like.
He
too.
Carries spiked seltzers in the pockets of his pants.
Love it.
So that at any time, if you find yourself like outside, he's like, let's shotgun a seltzer.
Right.
And so I'm like,
love it.
And by the way, I had decided, I was like, I'm fucking Nate Diaz's lackey tonight.
Yeah. Right.
I'm his whipping boy. Anything he does, I'm his shadow.
Right.
So I'm like, I'll do one. And he'd be like, he'd hand me a fucking thigh-warmed seltzer. So and it's seltzers. And shotgunning seltzers is not ideal.
Oh, yeah. Warm ones, too.
They're so sweet. They're very
more
saccharine.
More carbonated than beer.
Yeah. So you're burping a lot. So it's like shots and shotgunning seltzers. And then we get to we were at the restaurant, and he pulls out a bag of proper mushrooms.
Love it.
Like just raw.
Yeah, yeah. The ones that will, like, if you don't put it in food, will make you want to vomit.
Stinky.
Yeah. Shit that you,
I'd only ever eaten these dainty tinfoil wrapped.
They've made it very easy. I remember in, like, college, it would be like, hey, you got to take this and, like, put it in, like, a peanut butter and fluff sandwich just so you can get it down.
Now
those mushrooms.
Toblerone bars with nougat.
My God. They come in, like, they're actual chocolates. Like, these are delicious.
I saw chocolate-covered pomegranate seeds.
Yeah.
You could give them as an apology gift for cheating on your girlfriend.
Yeah.
On Valentine's Day or some shit. So
last minute.
He hands it around, and a lot of people passed. And I was like, okay, this is another opportunity for me to distinguish myself as Nate's guy.
It's the best part about this story is Nate definitely walked away being like, yo, I think that guy's got a substance problem. He just kept on doing everything. Someone should check on that ginger guy.
On the redhead, by the way.
He seems like a drug addict.
So I took a couple, but I didn't know what I was supposed to take. Luckily, the guy to my right, who, by the way, was Ernie Reyes Jr., who played, I think, one of the original Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, wow.
In, like, the 1980s movie.
Wow.
And I think he also was one of the Surf Ninjas.
Whoa.
In one of the original, in the movie Surf Ninjas.
Ernie Reyes Jr. He was Donatello?
Oh, he's his stuntman. Okay.
I wasn't a Donatello guy.
Yeah.
Raphael.
He was in Surf Ninjas. Awesome guy.
He was on The Rundown.
Awesome guy.
He was on The Rundown?
Movie with The Rock.
Oh, okay.
And Stifler, I think.
Okay.
And fucking, So he's sitting to my right, and he's sober.
Right.
So, but he's advising me. He's like, you want to maybe take like 2 stems and a cap of the mushrooms? Because I'm like, I don't want to fucking be an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be the guy that loses control.
Right.
He's like, yeah, you'll be fine. So I took that. And then, you know, we're drinking, we're eating all this vegan food, which is actually really good.
Yeah, a really good vegan restaurant. I mean, that's just kind of They have to make it such a good restaurant that you're like, oh, this actually tastes like real food.
And it's all, you know, plays on
non-vegan
food.
Right.
And they've used substitutes, and it was really good. And by the way, I'm pretty sure this happened, but I saw this sort of out of the corner of my eye. At one point, a guy came into the private room led by the manager of the restaurant. And it was sliding doors. And so they came in, and I was like, oh, fuck, that probably isn't supposed to happen. But the guy that he'd brought in owned a hospital that in L.A., or maybe a few, that had treated Nate after a fight.
Okay.
And he told him that, and Nate was like, ah, cool, good to see you, thanks.
Yeah, that's a weird...
And then that guy...
What are you supposed to say to that?
That guy then paid for the entire dinner.
Wow.
Like 16 people.
I guess if he owns multiple hospitals.
Ordering shots. Just a stranger. A fan.
Yeah.
Because he had just violated HIPAA, right?
Yeah, that too. Good point.
Terrible.
I think I
want you to go on a live show. Yeah.
What a fucking baller move.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I thought that was cool because I was going to be like, oh, fuck, are we splitting this? You know? Like,
yeah.
Does Nate pay? I don't know. So it was cool. And then we went back outside, and then Shane... was going to drop in at the Improv, which was like walking distance, to do a set.
Is he fucked up?
Well,
he can drink like
had
AK,
not,
yeah.
Yeah, but he had been boozing hard.
Yeah.
And he was like, I need to stop. We were throwing back red wine, like chugging our glasses.
Ugh.
That was the level of it was getting messy. Vegan food. But again, so now like Shane has to kind of keep it together. So I'm like, wow, well, I got to step up. And so we're walking. Fucking Nate pulls out another seltzer from his bottomless cargo pocket.
Are they cargo pockets?
Yeah, he's got cargo pockets on his knees. And so he's like, anyone with a shotgun? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I do. And so shotgun another one. Then he lights a joint. And now I'm just like, it was like in Harry Potter when you take the liquid luck and the world materializes in front of you. I had achieved that level of nirvana where socializing with Nate Diaz was simple.
Right.
We were speaking the same language. I was just the two of us walking. The whole group was ahead. We're smoking the joint together, talking about shit. I couldn't tell you what we said.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he seemed to be enjoying my company.
I love it.
And I was like, yes, I am that cool, you know, in that moment, because I was so fucked up.
Yeah.
And then we got to the Improv. Shane crushed. Then we left.
Didn't get up?
No, I was...
Were you thinking about it?
I also don't possess a level of...
Name where they like...
Where they would let me drop in at the Improv on a fucking whatever name.
Right.
And
would have been funny if you'd gotten up.
I know. I mean, but I don't want to follow Shane.
Your Michael Richards moment.
Exactly.
Francis just starts slurring everyone.
So then they wanted to like keep going out. And by the way, I think it was like a Tuesday. And LA kind of shuts down a little early, especially in the week.
Yeah.
And so we went over to the Comedy Store, but that had ended. And so we went to a liquor store right next door that was still open. And we bought a bunch of cases of White Claws.
Oh, my God.
And then we went into an abandoned parking lot, like, behind it, and then just shotgunned White Claws until 4 in the morning.
Holy shit.
And
how did it end?
That's the only way we drank.
Right.
It wasn't like...
There's no opening.
It was like 15-minute, 20-minute increments, time for another round.
How many people were there?
10 to 12.
Jeez.
It was Nate's crew and then whatever, me, Shane, and like a couple other of our friends that were with us. And many people within the two crews are sober. So the crew that was like willing to, entertain Nate was like required to bat with him every time.
Right.
And I, as I said, I had committed to this yes man mentality. And so there was nothing I wouldn't have done.
Right.
And I was shotgunning. I have pictures of this that we could probably pull up, by the way. And shotgunning. And then I was getting sparring lessons from Ernie Reyes, like off in the corner.
The surfing mutant ninja turtle?
Yeah, him.
So how did the night end?
So
who said like, hey.
I think we ran out of
alcohol. That makes sense.
And then we finished the multiple cases of seltzers.
And you guys are all staying at the same hotel, right?
Shane and his crew were. I was staying in Venice at a friend's place.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I got in an Uber. I went back there. I woke up in the morning. I had a meeting. Oh, no, I was doing Tim Dillon's podcast.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and that was a big moment for me.
To sing.
Shit.
Yes, yeah. To do music.
Oh, wow.
And so I had to then go from Venice back to West Hollywood to get my car. And that was like an hour-long Uber, at the end of which I rushed back into the hotel where I'd parked it and threw up all the fucking White Claws I'd had.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went to Guitar Center, rented a keyboard, and then rushed to Tim Dillon's studio, performed the song.
Murdered.
Returned the keyboard.
You did well on the song?
Yeah, it went well, yeah. I didn't, you know, flub it or anything.
Yeah, like yeah. That.
And then rushed to the airport and then got on a plane to Salt Lake and then a quick connection to Milwaukee.
Holy
and then went
shit.
To perform in up northern Wisconsin for the weekend.
So you were just dead though on that plane.
Yeah, and Shane, for his part, had a meeting that same morning, which he slept through, and it was at like 11:30 in his hotel.
Well, Shane after he did the case race with us, he did Andrew Yang's podcast the next morning. I watched that like a few weeks after. Because I had forgotten. I texted him. I was like, I'd forgotten you'd done this. And I'm just looking in his face and being like, you can kind of see a little bit of green paint from the Eagles. And you're were blackout drunk like 5 hours before
this
you
is awesome.
This.
How do I show you guys a picture of this scene?
Send it to TJ.
Yeah, you could DM the Yak on Twitter.
All right, I'll do that. Sorry.
How do you say goodbye after a night like that?
Yeah, right. That was my thing. Is like it's always hard.
When it's four, do you just like wander off in different directions?
Yeah, we kind of just
sheepishly, or is there like a big goodbye?
We dispersed. One thing that was interesting was that there was definitely, in spite of this prevailing effort to remain cool, everybody wanted a picture with Nate.
Yeah.
You know, it was very hard to know how to bring that up without bursting the bubble of like we're not fanboys, we're cool,
but you also don't want to have it be like the last thing you do,
and it kind of was,
yeah.
And we got this like cool group photo, which I'll pull these up, but yeah, man, it was honestly one of the best nights of my life. I can't lie, like it was so fun, and also so fun for me because I the whole time had just committed to riding the dragon.
Yeah.
All the way down.
It's also rare that, like, it sounds like you knew at the beginning of the night that was going to be an all-time night. Like, to have the...
I saw it all unfolding kind of in slow motion. You know what I mean?
Which is awesome.
Wait, Big Cat, what I'll do is I'll...
Text it to me.
I'm going to just send them to you. I'm just trying
to awesome.
Airdrop these to you.
By the way, TJ found one of the Laker Kobe. I'll send this to TJ right now.
Great.
TJ found one of the Laker Kobe Dan tweets. Oh, these are very funny.
Yeah, they're a little grainy, but you can see the level of nonsense that was happening there.
That seems like a very fun night. So the someone asked me, this is 8 hours before Kobe Bryant died.
Oh, jeez.
Someone said, is it hard dealing with all the Laker trolls, Laker Dan? Seems taxing, I said. Sometimes, but I love all my Laker fans, even if a few of them out there like to troll people and say Kobe is more important to the franchise than LeBron. So this is the type of stuff. Literally 8 hours. He died January 26th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I deleted a few, but it was... I think I did my top 10 Lakers and Kobe wasn't on it.
Like the old
that was the one that people were retweeting.
wouldn't history have worked in your favor though?
It would have. It was more like in the moment people were pulling it up and quote tweeting it like I had just said it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not fucking dealing with this.
Smart.
And like it was, you know.
Yeah.
It was quite, I mean, the timing could spooky. Not have been
spooky.
Yes.
Yeah, spooky.
So yeah, Laker Dan killed Kobe.
Yeah.
That was bad. I just sent you the pictures, TJ. Let's check. Yeah, here's the crew.
Okay.
What a fucking
holy
crew.
Holy shit.
There's Nate in the back left. There's Ernie Reyes on the left there. These are all his boys. There's Shane back right, Ian Fidance, John McKeever. And then, yeah. And so we're in some parking lot. At one point, I tried to hike that hill.
Of course.
It was super steep.
I mean, that is a hill that, like, I'm looking at right now. Could you climb it?
Yeah, I don't know how. Try. It looks easy there, and then it gets really steep.
I could tell from the body language he liked you the best.
We got along well.
Yeah.
We got along
well.
You're
his guy.
Pull up some of the ones with the... Yeah, there.
It's just the action shot.
Shotgun circle. There we are. It's fucking seltzers. Nate's right there.
You crushed it. That's
I did.
A fucking all-time
I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
You know, I stepped out of my comfort zone and rose to the occasion.
That's awesome.
I was really proud of.
Nate Diaz is the man. We almost interviewed him on PMT, but he lost his license right before he was supposed to get on a plane.
His fight license? Or
no, his
driver's
actual
license.
Driver's license. Oh. So he just didn't come to New York.
Damn.
It was also all set up, too, because his agent was like, are you guys cool with smoking? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, no, like during the show? Like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, we'll do whatever. We're similar to you. Like, we'll do whatever you tell us, we'll do with Nate.
I'll do anything. I'll kill somebody.
Yeah, he's a legendary guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I think he's only gotten better with age.
Yeah.
In terms of how much the audience loves him.
Yeah.
I don't remember, and it's maybe because I'm just not enough of a UFC fan, but I don't remember him in his earlier years having the universal adoration.
It was the Conor stuff, I think, was when it started to flip fully for him.
But Conor was the most popular fighter in the world.
But that's the thing is, like, Nate would just go to war.
Yeah. And you couldn't help but respect
it. It's his style, too. The fact that, like, he doesn't – every time he's in a fight, he doesn't, like, start the fight until, like, the fourth round.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
That's kind of the double-edged sword of the UFC. The best fighters are not that entertaining sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Nate Diaz's fight doesn't start until he's bleeding.
Yeah, right. He needs to be, like – he needs to be to the point where you're like, oh, no, is he about to get his ass kicked? And then he's just like, now I'm strong.
Yeah. He's bigger than you'd think.
I believe that.
In real life.
Yeah.
Because I know he fought Conor, and I consider Conor to be...
a small guy.
Springy.
Although Conor, I think, went up in weight.
Yes.
Yeah, but Diaz is huge. And, you know, you ask the dumb questions to someone on the side, like, if six of us tried to fight Nate right now.
I love those hypotheticals.
Six of us non-fighters.
Yeah.
And we all piled on him at the same time.
Yeah.
How would we do? And Ernie was like, you'd all die.
We did that with them.
Every one of you. He would crush you.
I think if you did it coordinated, you'd win.
You just...
Everybody take
he knocks
win.
The first guy out, and then everyone else gets a little
That's
nervous.
The problem is you'd have to, like, the first, there always has to be a first guy who's right in front of him. And
sacrificial lamb, yeah.
Yeah. But then I mean, I don't know. I think he just knows what he's doing. He would have a strategy for six people.
Yeah.
Just break everyone's arm.
We could take him down.
You should try it.
Just give him a shitload of white claws.
I don't think it fazed him. I think he just exists on this
plane. I need
plane.
To see him getting dressed for a night and just putting 12 white claws.
Yeah, just be like, all right, ready to go. Oh, do I forget? Oh, my wallet. Like,
phone
keys,
keys,
my
wallet. 16 white claws.
He's a white claws, yeah.
Where are my pants with the big pockets?
Yeah. Should we spin the wheel, TJ, and end the show? It's been a great show, boys. Just riffing.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Who's here tomorrow?
I am.
Oh, no. Oh! Well, we already owe one. Does double? I don't know. I think we just got to do it.
Take it off the wheel?
No, oh, you want it off the wheel? We can take it off the wheel.
I'm fine with taking it off.
If you don't want it on the wheel, let's take it off the wheel.
I feel like
we have one
more.
It's
getting a little stale, right?
Okay.
We've done it three times.
I don't know. They are. You like it? All right. Let's take it off the wheel until we do the next. We're going to do it next Thursday. If people love it, we'll keep it on.
Coolio.
All right, you got to spin again then because we're going to take that out because we can't double up on it. Mm-hmm. This is going to suck if we have to shave our heads, especially for Francis.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, you might have to. Oh, no, you're good. All right, so that will be the rule, okay, Zah. We'll take it off.
And just let
when
it breathe.
It, yeah, when we do the wild next Thursday, if people love it, if it goes well. We'll put it back on.
I'm a slave to the people, Big Cat. What they want, I do.
I don't think you should say it like
actually,
that.
Actually, that came out bad. I wasn't actually thinking. That actually did come out bad. I'm not your slaves, you assholes.
All right, we'll see everyone tomorrow. Thank you, Francis.